Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. My subject is, and I've got allergy troubles. I can't stand this south weather anymore. It must be the northern environment that I've been in. I came back down here in the south, and boy, this pollen has stopped me up, but you'll have to bear with me. Look at Isaiah 51. Never forget. That's my subject. Never forget. Look at verse 1. Isaiah 51, verse 1. Hearken unto me. Listen up. Give me your attention. Give me your ears. Ye that follow after righteousness. Are you a follower of righteousness? Well, then listen up. Ye that seek the Lord, you a seeker? If you are, you're following after righteousness. You see righteousness to be found only in Christ. You got no righteousness of your own, and you know it. And when Brother Isaiah said, woe is me, you said it too. And you said, I don't have any righteousness. Oh God, where can I find righteousness? And somebody said, you know what his name is? The Lord our righteousness. That's his name. And somebody told you there's a righteousness to be had that God Almighty approves of. I fall after that righteousness. Don't you? I do. I fall after that righteousness. And I'm seeking the Lord. I'm a seeker. I'm a seeker. If you fall after righteousness and you seek the Lord, hearken up now. Listen up. Look to the rock from whence you're hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you're digged. And don't ever forget. Now the words of this text, at least on the surface, are directed to Israel. And the believers in Israel, they're directed to all believers, but specifically to the believers in Israel. You got to remember, they've been taken into captivity in Babylon. Now, certainly not all of Israel was believers. But there was a remnant according to the election of grace within the nation. But they got hauled off to Babylon too. It's sad times. Sad times. Oh, they rested in the God of grace, this remnant did. They believed. And they looked to the Messiah. But they still got carried into captivity. They were experiencing times of great difficulty. Hardship. Look back in chapter 50, verse 10. Look at verse 10, chapter 50. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? That obeyeth the voice of his servant? That walketh in darkness and hath no light? Oh, they had the light of God's grace. These redeemed ones did. They had the light of God's presence. They had God's illuminating grace. They couldn't have believed apart from that. And they looked to Christ who would come. See, everybody who's saved looks to Christ. They just, there's in the Old Testament, they look that way. We over here, we look this way. But we're all looking to Him. He's the only sacrifice. He's the one made satisfaction to God's justice. They were looking to Christ, resting in Christ. They had the light of God's grace, the light of God's mercy, the light of God's illumination. But as to their daily walk, they walked in the darkness of gloom and despair and sadness and sorrow. Man, they're taken out of their homeland. I mean, those soldiers came in there and arrested them, split up families. They had loved ones that died. Brothers and sisters and mamas and daddies that died. Here they are in Babylon, far away from Jerusalem, far away from the temple, far away from the place of sacrifice. They're children of light, but they're walking in darkness. Tough times. The freedom they once enjoyed, got it no more. Such heavy burdens. Such awesome trials. There may be some children of light in here this evening. You know Christ. You love Christ. You see in Him everything you need. You rest in Him. God's grace has been showered upon you. You've been illuminated. And you look in this book and you see, oh, I see how God can be just and justifier through the blessed Redeemer. And I see I'm righteous in Him. And my sins are G-O-N-E gone. I see that. I believe that. But oh my, preacher, I've been hauled off into Babylon. And my family's going through tough times. Sickness, adversity, trial, trouble, hardship. I'm a child of light. And I'm a walking in darkness. I know these folks were believers now. Because look again at verse 10. They feared the Lord. You see how it begins? Who is among you that feareth the Lord? They stood in awe of God. I do, don't you? Oh, God. How lightly His name comes off our lips. How great He is. Consider the awesome glory of God. Todd talked about His holiness. Oh. When he talks about the holiness of God, when he's preaching about the holiness of God, how'd it make you feel? You just want to step back, don't you? Oh, Lord. Like Peter, I'm a sinful man. Oh, God, You're so glorious. I'm so in awe of You. I so reverence Your name. Oh, listen, all of you, children, everybody, don't ever speak the name of God lightly. Think about who you're talking to. Who was it? Calvin said something like this. Before I talk to God, I put my hand over my mouth and think about who I'm going to talk about and who I'm going to talk to. Oh, God, how great Thou art. Who among you that fears the Lord? Now, this has got to do with worship, doesn't it? Fearing the Lord's got to do with worshiping God. Worshiping God. Somebody read over there in Genesis the other night, last night, I guess, about Abraham and Isaac. Abraham said to those servants, "Are we going yonder to the mountain to worship? We're going to worship." And the statement was made. That's one of the first times in the Bible the word worship is used. And there they go off to the mountain. And Isaac, he's got the wood. He's a young fella, you know. He's a strapping boy. He's got a lot of energy. Abraham said, "You carry the wood. You haul the load." And Isaac's walking up on that mountain with his daddy. And he gets to thinking. Daddy said, "We's going yonder to worship. I got the wood. He's got the knife. He's got the fire. Man, Daddy, we don't have a lamb. Where's the lamb?" You can't worship God without a lamb. Got to have a lamb. Who is he among you that worships God? Who sees and understands and perceives God cannot be worshipped except through Jesus Christ the Lord. You're going to worship God tonight apart from Christ. I went to a funeral. I shared this with Donnie the other day on the telephone. I went to a funeral a couple of weeks ago. A brother and sister in our congregation, their brother had died. And I didn't get to see him in the funeral home, so I went to the funeral. Another man in our congregation went. We kind of sat at the back. And the minister got up. First thing he said was, "We come here to worship God." I said, "Well, that sounds good. That sounds good." From there, he was downhill all the way. And he just sat back there and just... So at the grave, I told this fellow from our congregation, I said, "Let's just stand over here afar off. I've heard enough." And after that part was over with, I was getting ready to go to the car. And this brother from our congregation, a brother to the man who died, he came over to me and said, "Pastor, I want you to meet somebody." He wanted to introduce me to the fellow who brought the message. And what I generally find is it's a waste of time to talk to those fellows. And I don't ever have anything to say to them unless God puts them right in front of my face. And I feel like that's time to say something. And he introduced himself, and I said, "Say." And I'm thinking about how he began. "We've come to worship God." I said, "Say, are you familiar with that passage in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, where the Apostle Paul said, 'I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified?'" He said, Yeah, I'm familiar with that passage of Scripture." I put my finger in his chest, his 75-year-old man. I said, "I wish you'd had that same determination. How are we going to worship God if nobody talks about Christ? If nobody talks about the sacrifice? If nobody talks about substitution, if nobody talks about satisfaction, if nobody talks about Him who is God who became man, that one who's the perfect Son of God who was made flesh and obeyed God's law and went to the cross bearing the sins of His people and died under the wrath of God and who put our sins away, in whom alone we're accepted. How are you going to worship God if you don't talk about Him?" And I said, "You did not preach Jesus Christ, Him crucified." You know what he said? "No, I don't guess I did." And I said, "Shame on you. How are you going to worship God without the Lamb? Who is he among you that feareth God, that worships God, that sees and understands and perceives God cannot be spoken to, and He will not speak to anybody except through His beloved Son? Who is among you that feared the Lord?" These people feared the Lord, but they're still walking in darkness. That don't mean you ain't going to have problems. That doesn't mean you're not going to have trials. Oh, come to Jesus and you'll have three cars in your garage and build your new house and have plenty of money in the bank. And I came to the Lord Jesus and, man, they foreclosed on my house and I lost my car. What happened here? Who is he among you that fears the Lord? And watch this. That obeyeth the voice of his servant. That obeyeth the voice of his servant. God's got his servants in this world. I think about that servant John the Baptist. And he told his disciples, he said, look to the Lamb of God. Look here. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Those who fear God obey the voice of his servant. But wait a minute. Actually, there's no authority or power in our voice to cause you to obey us. I can't make you believe. If I could talk you into decision, somebody else talk you out of it. Do you know who this servant is here that obeyeth the voice of his servant? In the context, his servant is the Lord Jesus Christ. You read through Isaiah chapter 50 and you'll find out Christ is the servant of God. Look at it. Look at verse 5. I don't have time to go through all this. Look at verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. Isaiah 50 verse 5. And I was not rebellious. Oh, thank God he wasn't rebellious. There's no fault in him. Neither turned away back. God sent him on a mission. See, way back yonder in old eternity, God drew up a covenant. And the Son of God stood as our surety. And God the Father gave him a people and gave him a job to do. He come down here on a mission of mercy to save his people, to do the Father's work. He said when Mary and Joseph was looking for him at the temple, where have you been? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? When the disciples had gone to Samaria to get something to eat, he talked with the Samaritan woman that came back and said, here's some food for you. And he said, I'm not hungry. Somebody bring you lunch already? I have meat to eat you know not of. The Father's given me a job to do. And I must do the work and finish the work he gave me to do. He's God's servant. Who was it? Tim said the other night, last night, in Mark. He's the perfect servant of God. And the servant of God said, I didn't come for you to minister to me. I came to minister to you. I didn't come so you'd do something for me. What are you going to do for me? What are you going to give me? I can't do something for you. I can't do something that you can't do.
Amen.
And I'm going to do it all by myself because nobody can enter into this with me. He's trodden the winepress alone. He entered into the presence of God by himself as our sacrifice, as our substitute, bearing our sin. It's a work that nobody else can enter into. God just turned the lights out. It's dark. And that transaction took place between Father and Son. Him bearing our sins, the Father in his justice poured out his wrath. He's God's servant. Came to do the Father's will. What was it he said on the cross? It is finished. In his high priestly prayer, John 17, I finished the work thou hast given me to do. Not I've almost finished it and then their faith will top it off. Not I made every installment but the last one and they can make that one. I finished it. Jesus paid it. Oh, isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. There's nothing left to pay. Nothing left to do. It isn't. The message isn't sinner do, it's sinner. It's done. It's over with. It's done. It's a done deal. Everything a holy, righteous, just God required of this poor, defiled, depraved worm of a sinner
My substitute
has already taken care of him. Let me tell you something. One day, this servant of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he called me. And you know what? I obeyed. You know what he said? Look to me. Look to me and live. And I looked. I've been looking ever since. You know what he said? He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You know what? I came to him. Been coming to him ever since. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? We believed on Christ. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That's effectual grace. He called us. But we still walk in darkness. Still got them troubles. Still got them problems. That walketh in darkness and hath no light. And maybe I'm talking to somebody tonight. This is exactly where you are right now. I don't know. I know this. If you're not walking in darkness now, and by that I mean in distress and gloom and doubt and fear and trouble and trial and sickness and adversity and lost children that break your heart and lost parents or a lost husband or a lost wife, and you're just all of this, it's just darkness. If you're not in darkness now, you're liable to be tomorrow. Well, listen to what the Master says. Because this is who's talking. This is the Redeemer. This is the one. Look at verse 6. This is the one who said, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. That's who's talking now. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Couldn't anything change his mind about going to the cross? Peter said, oh no, you can't go. They'll kill you. Get behind me. I'm going. He says in verse 8, God is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Who's going to make a legal complaint against me? And against those whom I represent. Who's going to make a legal complaint before the throne of God against Jesus Christ or any of his sheep? Look at this. Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Come near to the Savior. Come near to Almighty God. Look at verse 9. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Old brother Paul, he wrote about that same thing, didn't he, at Romans chapter 8. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. And look yonder. He's seated at the right hand of God and he makes intercession for us. Who can condemn him? If you can't condemn him, you can't condemn me. Yeah. Because he took my sin. They're not on me. And they're sure enough not on him. Well, where are they then? They are gone. God put them behind his back. He buried them in the depths of the deepest sea. He separated them from us as far as the east is from the west. Who shall condemn me? And anybody who tries, lo, they shall all wax old as a garment, and the moth shall eat them up. God will devour them. Now, who is he among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of Christ? You've obeyed his voice. He said, come, you came to it. Oh, there's a sweetness to the effectual call, isn't it? He called and I came running. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Child of God, child of light, You feel like in the darkness. Say, oh boy, tough times, preacher, tough times. Trust in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord's a strong tower. He's our refuge. And watch this, and stay upon His God. That means lean all your weight on Him. Even when you can't perceive His presence. See, I think that's part of this too. Children of light walking in darkness. Sometimes you just can't perceive that He's there. Still trust Him. Trust His word. Trust His providence. Trust His wisdom. Trust His power. Trust His grace. Trust His faithfulness. Stay upon your God. Just going to stay right here. I'm going to lean on the Lord. I'm going to hug up to His bosom. And even though my world may feel like it's crashing in on me, and I feel like all hell's breaking loose against me, and I just can't hardly stand it no more, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. This little, poor little lamb, I'm just going to hug up to the shepherd. And I'm just going to lean on Him. And I may be leaning and quivering and shaking and trembling and crying. I'm going to lean on Him. Because that's what He said do. But our Lord, all you that kindle the fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. And this shall ye have of mine hand. You're going to lay down in sorrow. Got two groups of people. They're children of light, and they're walking in darkness. If you got children of darkness walking in man-made light, or another way of saying that is walking in man-made religion, they create their own sparks, creating their own fire, like Nadab and Abihu. All he saw the fire come from the Lord and devour the sacrifice. Well, we're going to go burn incense. But instead of going and taking the hot coals off the brazen altar, see, that's Christ crucified. Right? Brazen altar, that's substitution. That's where the innocent died for the guilty. That's the place where God's justice is satisfied in death. The death of an innocent victim for the guilty. But they didn't get the coals off there. They made their own fire. Walked in the light of their own sparks. And oh, it was warm to them. Felt good. And then God killed them. And He said, Aaron, don't you even put on garments of mourning. That's what Moses told Aaron. Don't you even weep over them. They tried to bypass Christ. They trodden underfoot the blood of the innocent victim dying for the guilty. It meant nothing to them. God killed them. Are you a child of light? You may be walking in a bit of darkness right now, but bless God, you're a child of light. Or are you a child of darkness? Is there a child of darkness in here tonight? Created your own light? figure you can get to God through your baptism or through your works or through your faith. Your faith will do it. That's all you got to do is just add the faith. You keep that attitude, you'll lie down in sorrow, everlasting sorrow. All right, now watch this. Let me get this quick. In chapter 51, now, to you who fear the Lord, you've obeyed the voice of his servant. He called and you came. It was an effectual call. It arrested you. Gave you life. You're just dead in trespasses and sin. You're dead like Lazarus was dead. And the sovereign Savior came to your tomb. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And you did. If he ever says, Lazarus, come forth to you, you will obey his voice. You got to. Nothing else can do when he calls you to himself. Now you hearken to me. You that follow after righteousness. I don't have any righteousness. I don't have anything I can present to God, do you? Anybody in here want to say, Lord, I want to present to you this list of works that I've done. But there's a righteousness I'm a following after. It's the righteousness of somebody else. I'm going to go to glory on the basis of the righteousness of somebody else, the goodness of somebody else, the perfection of somebody else. I follow after that righteousness, and I'm seeking the Lord. You seeker? I'm seeking the Lord. Where am I going to find him? Well, he's on his throne. Todd preached that. Isaiah saw that. He's in his word. He's with his people. He's where the gospel is being preached. He's in Christ. That's where you're going to find him. That's where you're going to find him. Now, here's what he says to do. I want you to remember something. And I want you to forget this. Now, there's some things, I know the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, he said, forgetting those things that are past, things that are behind. And indeed, there's a sense in which we should do that. We should forget past experiences, past works, past religious feelings, past religious service. Forget those things. Now listen, insofar as our hope before God is concerned, insofar as our assurance is concerned, forget the past. In other words, trust Christ right now like you ain't never trusted him before. Seek him now like you've never sought him before. You say, well, I think I was a believer yesterday. It don't much matter about yesterday. That's gone. Saving faith, it's not just a one-time thing. I took care of that 25 years ago, preacher. I don't understand what you guys are talking about. Still looking to Christ? Yeah, we're still looking to whom coming. Flee to the Savior for salvation like you never fled to him before. Lord, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me, come to me. O Lamb of God, I come. I'm coming all over. I come. How many times I've been saying this Bible comes already? But there are some things we don't want to ever forget. Some things we need to remember and never forget. Don't ever forget God's marvelous grace. His purpose of grace. Are you a believer tonight? Are you one of these? All right, here we let's see. You fear the Lord. You obey the voice of Christ. You follow after righteousness. You seek the Lord. You a believer? Did you know that you're a believer because He chose you? He chose you unto salvation before the foundation of the world. And He gave you to His lovely, darling, eternal Son and said, take care of Him. And the Savior said, I'll answer for everything. Don't ever forget that. And don't ever forget the price paid for your redemption. Peter said, you're redeemed with the precious, precious blood of Christ. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that effectual call of the Spirit. And don't ever forget this, the rock from which you're hewn. He just chipped you off from the multitude of mankind. He separated you. And don't ever forget this, the hole of the pit from which you digged. He dug you out of the pit. Out of the dungeon, out of the miry clay. I don't know where you were when He found you, when He dug you up. He dug me out of false religion. And I had to be dug out of it because I was mired up deep in it. Not deep in it. Committed. Dedicated. Zealous. Soul winner. Bible college student, going to pastor a big church. Told somebody that, well, I told our congregation the other day that we used to, in Bible college, we used to have a little, we used to have competition from Wednesday to Wednesday to see who could get the most decisions. Zealous. Zealous. How often have I wept before God and said, oh God, forgive me. I wish I'd go back and talk to those people again. Tell them what I know now. Tell them who I know now. He dug me out of the pit. Or maybe He found you in the pit of vile wickedness. I don't know where you were, but I guarantee you was in a pit somewhere. Every pit's got a different name, but we were all in a pit. We was like Peter in the dungeon, fast asleep. And the angel of the Lord, with His mighty voice, came and bumped us in the ribs and said, it's time to wake up, because I'm getting you out of this mess. And I'm going to tell you that I'm going to do it in a righteous way. And He did. And the doors, they just all unlocked mysteriously. I was a captive. I'm free. I was in jail. Prison doors open. And I walked out, and I'm a liberated man. I'm free. Because if the Son shall make you free, you're free indeed. Amen. Free indeed. Well, don't ever forget what God's done for you. And you know what? He won't let you.